Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you. Patricia and I took a little time off last week, and so I didn't do last week's sermon, but we're continuing in our book of Judges, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5. It's a follow-on of the last session I did in chapter 4, where we looked at the story of Deborah and Barak. And in chapter 5, we have recorded what is known as the Song of Deborah. It's a song of praise that Deborah sung once she had won the victory. But before we do that, let's pray together. Lord, as we turn again to your word, we do thank you so much for all that you do for us. Even as we just reflect on the way Deborah reflected on your work in her life, Lord, help us to learn these lessons so that we may too respond in honor and praise of your name when you bring great things into our lives as well. We give you all the praise for that. Teach us, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, I'm not going to read the passage at the start because I'm going to read it as we go through the message. I've got 10 points today, so I don't want to spend all the time reading the passage, but it's as I mentioned earlier on, it's a song that Deborah wrote in response to the victory that God had given to her. I've included the whole chapter in the notes, and I'd encourage you to read it first if you before you come to the passage and listen to the sermon, so you can get a broad aspect of what it's all about. Last time we looked at why God's people fail and how God responds to save them. And then this week I want to look at how we should be responding when we are saved. And so I've simply called the message How God's People Should Respond When God Saves Them. And there are 10 responses that I've picked up in this passage. There are probably many more, but I want to focus on just the 10 today. It's certainly enough for one sermon. So, number one, when God saves, God's people should respond immediately. The opening verse of chapter 5 says, "The Song of Deborah, on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abiram, sang this song." Friends, every day should be a day to give praise to the Lord. Every day is a miracle from God for us. You know, sometimes when we ask for testimonies, we don't always get them. But friends, as people have a living relationship with the Lord, we should have a living testimony. We should have a testimony for every day. What has God done in your life today? Maybe you woke up this morning and you weren't expecting to wake up. Perhaps something small. Friends, every good gift, every good thing comes from God. And Deborah and Barak didn't waste a moment. Tells us on that day, the very day they won the victory, they sang the song. It reminds me of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2. After Peter had preached that sermon, at the end of that sermon in verse 41, it says, "All those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers stood together and everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everybody who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Oh, friends, like Deborah and like the early church friends, we should be living in an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving. People are attracted to that. There should never be a hesitation when we ask for testimony, friends. God is at work, and we should never forget that. Let's not focus on the negative. There's so many negative things for us to focus on, friends, but today is the day of salvation, and today is the day of testimony. Number two, when God saves, God's people should respond willingly. It says, when the princes of Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Friends, Deborah understood that. We need a spirit of willingness. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Friends, with our willingness to worship God, our willingness to give thanks for what He has done in our lives. In the book of Revelation, the image John sees is a celebration of praise and wonder in heaven, friends. We read in Revelation 4, verses 9 through 11, whenever the living creatures give honor and glory and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they are created and have their being. Friend, when God saves, God's people should respond willingly. Shouldn't have to drag a testimony out of people. There's a play on the name Barak in this verse that we lose in our English translation. For you see, the name Barak means praise. So when Deborah is saying, when the princes of Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer, praise the Lord, she's basically saying, Barak, live up to your name. Praise. Hey, you praise the Lord. Friends, when God's people are saved, they should respond willingly. Should never have to drag anything out of a people of God. So many Christians seem to be so sad these days. Come on, man. Today is a day of rejoicing. Let's reflect on all that God means to us. Number three, when God saves, God's people should respond defiantly. In verse 3, Deborah writes, she says, hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. So what does this verse tell us? You see, in this verse, Deborah is reminding everybody that the God of Israel is the Lord God Almighty. For the verse opens with a very familiar word, hear. She's pointing people to the famous passage called Shema Israel, which means hear, O Israel, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9 is the very famous passage in Jewish worship and a famous one in Christian worship too. It says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. You see, friends, when believers forget that God saves them, they're on a slippery road to failure. And so Deborah reminds them to respond defiantly. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord. Friends, when God's peoples are saved by God, we need to be proud about it. We need to respond willfully. Don't let anybody try and suppress you, friends. If God's done something in your heart and your life, you need to be singing about it. Don't become weary in singing glory and honor to God. Number four, when God saves, God's people should respond reverently. In verse 4, we read, O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, friends, Deborah is reminding Israel of the encounter between Moses and Yahweh on Mount Sinai when Yahweh gave them the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 19. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 to 18. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud around the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everybody in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. Oh, friends, when God says God's people should respond reverently, yes, we can think of God as our Father. Yes, we can think of Christ as our brother and our Savior. But friends, let us never forget that He is God, the Lord God Almighty, the God above. I'm reminded of the transfiguration of Jesus. Matthew 17, it says this, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up in a high mountain by himself. There he was transfigured before him. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'd put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, verse 6 says, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Friends, when God saves, God's people should respond reverently. When last did you encounter the living God? When last were you in the presence of God in such a way that you just knew that you were unworthy to be in His presence? Friend, oh, may we recapture that. May we recapture the vision of a God who is in heaven above. A God who declares that he is God Almighty, a God who wins a victory by sending rain. Oh, friends, our God is a mighty God. Let's not mess around with God. Let's not fool around. Look at the disciples. When they recognize just who Jesus is, they do what so many other do in Scripture before them. They fall flat on their face before God, terrified. This is not fear, friends. This is holy fear. Reverence for who God is. Number five. When God saves, God's people should respond notwithstandingly. Verses 6 through 11, it says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing workers among the people. Praise the Lord. Friends, these verses describe the conditions that faced Israel before Deborah won the victory. She's basically saying to them, we should praise notwithstanding the fact that the roads are unsafe. Notwithstanding the fact that the towns are unsafe, friends. Normal life was not possible, describes that in verse 7. Friends, we should praise in spite of the fact that there's false religion around us. We should praise notwithstanding the fact that there's war in this world, and we could be on the brink of the Third World War, friends. We should praise notwithstanding the fact that we don't really have an army left in our country. Notwithstanding these, friends, Deborah calls them to praise the Lord in verse 9, to sing to the Lord in verse 11, and to recite the righteous acts of God in verse 11. You see, friends, when God saves, God's people should respond. Doesn't matter what we're facing. Because, friends, we know whose side we're on. Doesn't matter if the roads are unsafe. Doesn't matter if the towns are not safe. Doesn't matter if there's false religion around us or war or army. No armies, friends. We should be praising God, singing and reciting the righteous acts of God. Because, friends, our trust is not in ourselves. Our trust is in God Himself. That's what Deborah is reminding them of. They don't need to worry about what happens around them, friends, because God has won and will continue to win the victory. Number six. When God saves, friends, God's people should respond timeously. Verse 12, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Deborah just says again, wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song, arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinadab. As if saying it is not enough, Deborah repeats the words four times. Wake up! O Church of God, let's wake up. When God saves, God's people should respond timeously, friends. Friends, I've said it many times. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but it's one day sooner than yesterday. It's the same message, friends, we find in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes this, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. People are saying peace and safety. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them safety. As labor pains upon a woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers, you're not in darkness, so that the day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the darkness or the night. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert. Self-control, for those who sleep, sleep at night, those who get drunk at night. For since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other, just as in fact you are doing. This is Paul's version of Deborah's message. Wake up! Friends, we need to wake up. The days are short. Jesus is coming again. The days for us to spread the message of Christ is short. Let's do it as quickly and as often as we possibly can. Number 7. When God saves, God's people should respond communally. Friends, we're together in this. And verse 18, Deborah reminds the people of the people who were there in battle. But notice she reminds us not only of those who helped in battle, but also those who did nothing. Verse 18 says, when the men who were left came down to the Nobles, the people of the Lord came with me with a mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing her. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling of the flocks? In the distance of Reuben, there was much searching of hearts. Gilead stayed behind the Jordan. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coasts, stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun rest their very lives. So did Naphtali on the heights of the field. Friends, let's remember. The Bible is full of people who served the Lord, full of lists of names of people who served the Lord. Many of those names only appear once in the scriptures, friends. Now, we might not know who they are, but the encouraging thing is this, friends. While we may not know who they are, God knows them by name. He doesn't forget, friends. He knows the name of those who did something, and those who did nothing. Friends, when God saves, God's people should respond communally. We're in this together, friends. Let's work together. That's the message of those verses. Number 8. When God saves, God's people should respond humbly. Verse 19 says, kings come, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought, but they carried off no silver, no plunder. From the heavens the stars fought. From the courses they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon, march on, my soul, be strong. They thundered their horses' hooves. Galloping, galloping, go his mighty steeds. Friends, these verses remind us, the battle is the Lord's. You see, Deborah and Barak were victorious because God caused the enemy to get stuck in the mud. That's how they won the victory. Friends, when God saves, we should respond humbly. because we know that we could never save ourselves. Friends, always remember to give all the glory to God. There is nothing that you have done, friends, that has caused you to be great in God's eyes. You're great in God's eyes because God saved you. There's nothing that you have done. Number 9. When God saves, God's people should respond specifically. Verse 23 says, "Curse Meroz," says the Lord. "Curse its people bitterly, because they did not come help the Lord." And then verse 24, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of tent-dwelling women." Goes on to tell the story of how she killed Sisera. Deborah mentions two things specifically, Meroz and Jael. What was Meroz? Well, Meroz was a place. One commentator writes this, "The city of Meroz seems to have been, at this time, a place of considerable importance, since something great was expected from it." But probably, after the angel of Nod had announced the curse, it dwindled like the fig tree which Christ cursed, withered away, so that we never read of it again in Scripture. Friends, Meroz was a place that should have done something for God but didn't. But Jael is a person, a foreigner who killed Israel's enemy. You would have thought that her name meant something significant, because, friends, it contains the words El, Jael. The word El means God. However, her name means mountain goat. Oh, not the most flattering thing, is it? Friends, doesn't matter what her name is, because God uses a person to achieve a great victory. Matthew Henry writes, "Though he needs no human help, he is pleased to accept the services of those who improve their talents to advance his cause." Friends, when God saves, God's people should respond specifically. We should know, friends, who has done good things for God and who hasn't. Number 10. When God saves, God's people should respond devotedly. The last verse says, "So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength." Then the land had peace for 40 years. You see, friend, Deborah ends her song with the desire of God's heart. She's basically saying, like God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." May they who love you be like the sun, pure and strong and rising to be like you. Friends, Deborah would play an incredible role in the history of Israel, and has gone on to become one of the most influential women in all of Scripture. However, it's not Deborah or Barak or Jael who deserve glory or praise. They are not worshipped because they are not the ultimate hero of the story or the ultimate savior of Israel. That role, friend, is reserved for God, God in Christ alone, before whom the mountains quake at the presence of the Lord. Friend, God has saved us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just like Deborah saved the nation of Israel, we have been saved through his son, Jesus. And the question is, how will we respond? Will we respond like it encouraged us today? Or are we just taking our salvation for granted? Oh, I deserve to be saved. No, friend, you deserve nothing. You deserve punishment, eternal condemnation. So my encouragement to you is respond like Deborah responded in giving thanks to God for the salvation we have received in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for making us part of your family. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Help us to do that continually. Help us to give the ultimate praise, Lord, becoming more like you. We ask that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God the glory, friends. He deserves it. Amen.